We are gathered here. Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showing us with every good gift, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God,
we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace. Tell everyone how much God has done for you.
Amen.
The first hymn is number 789 in your hymnal.
Yeah.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Journey of Praise, page 4 in your booklet. Feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. We'll have the reading of the first lesson.
First reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all of the lands where I have driven them. And I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them, who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer, or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 23 in unison today. It can be found in your bulletin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So let's listen to the word. Please stand. St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them. And they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick en masse to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The children may come forward for a children's sermon. How are you guys today? We're at summertime. You know what summertime is? What do you like about summer? Just a minute. We need to. So. You like to go to the pool? Okay. That's something special in the summertime. I know I like vacations where you can rest. And you can go different places with your family that you wouldn't do otherwise. Can you think of anything else you like to do during the summertime?
Go to my grandma's.
Go to your grandma's. What do you like to do?
Go to somebody's house.
Go to somebody's house. All right. There's all sorts of things we can do. And in the gospel today, did you know that Jesus even needed a vacation? And so he told the disciples, let's go someplace where people don't see us, because everyone was following him around. And he was healing and preaching, continuing. But he says, I need to rest too. Did you ever think that Jesus would need to rest? You know, we always think, well, we need to rest, but Jesus needed to rest too. So summer is a good time for resting. That's what I want you to remember for. And if your folks aren't giving you enough rest, you need to tell them to give you a little more, okay? All right. But let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for rest. We thank you for excitement. We thank you for jobs. In many ways you bless us. But we ask that this would be a special summer for all of us, that we continue to get what we need from you and from others. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Okay, thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you have ever gone someplace where you were a stranger and you knew no one else? So I've had that experience. And what were your kinds of feelings? Did you feel like maybe you didn't want to be there? Or a little afraid or frightened? Maybe not knowing how to act or what to say or do? And probably you want to get out of there just as fast as you can too, right? You're uncomfortable. A lot of times we don't like that. Well, you know, unfortunately, many people feel that way about God. They don't want to be close to him because they don't know him. They're afraid of what he might do. And so it can be sort of a frightening and threatening experience for them. But today we discover that in Christ, this all changes, and we are no longer strangers, but as our text says, we are brothers, sisters, and friends. There's a great song by Avery March about it, but I couldn't find it, and maybe that was good because you wouldn't have to hear me sing it. So there's two ways of looking at that. But all of you should have this scripture insert in your bulletins. It's a contemporary English version, and I like it a little better than the one that we have in our bulletin, so we're going to use it. Last Sunday we looked at the first column here, verses 1 through 14 of chapter 1. Paul says he was chosen by God, not because Paul wanted it necessarily, but because God chose him. And he was writing this to God's people. In the RSV it says to the saints, and some people have trouble with the word saints because they might say, I'm not a saint. And we say, if you believe in God, yes, you are a saint. To be a saint does not mean you're perfect. It means you belong to God and we serve him. And then we learned that the verse 3 through the very end 14 is one sentence in the Greek language. And this, obviously, we put it a lot more than that because one sentence is pretty hard to do. But it talks about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so it's a Trinitarian verse. I want to continue with verse 15 here. And it says, I have heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. I want you to think about how faith and love go together. When we believe in God, then we love other people. And sometimes I think there's a temptation to forget that and that we don't put them together, but love is the result of our faith. And Paul says, I mention all of you in my prayers. You might stop and think, who do you mention in your prayers when you have your prayers to God? Remember your family, friends? Do you remember the other people in your congregation? Do you remember the leaders of our country? Many times remember those who are sick. Or recently we think of those people who were killed in the Missouri in that bad duck boat thing.
I know Nancy and I rode a duck boat when we were in London, and that was sort of, can be sort of exciting, but this was one that turned out very tragically. And he says, I asked the glorious Father, notice this is a Trinitarian verse again, I asked the glorious Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you his Spirit. So Paul is saying, I want God's Spirit to be into you. We need God's Spirit while Jesus is in heaven. We need his Spirit to enable us here on earth. And he says, the Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. You ever thought of this, God's Holy Spirit making us wise? I know as pastor, especially when I serve full time, I would ask for wisdom, that God would give me wisdom. And I believe he did. Doesn't mean I had perfect wisdom. I could go back and say, well, I wish I'd done that a little different, John. But wisdom is something that we all need, isn't it? In living in this world, to do the right things, to say the right things, and God can give us that. And 18 says, my prayer is that light will flood your hearts and that you will understand the hope that was given you when God chose you. So Paul is telling us that God chose us. We were destined to be chosen even before the creation of the world. But he gives us hope. And that hope we think of as heaven, do we not? And it's not like, I hope I'm going to go there. You ask someone, are you saved? If you died today, would you go to heaven? And many people say, I hope so. That's really the wrong answer. It's yes, well, of course. If you're a child of God, we know that we will go there, and heaven is the place that we go to be with God. And he says, then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. You ever thought of blessings as something to be discovered? You know, an old favorite hymn is, count your blessings, name them one by one, tell everyone what God has done. And I know I do this occasionally. I try not to do it at night when I'm going to bed because I'll never fall asleep, you know, because I've got all the things that God has blessed me with. And sometimes I think we live in this world that the advertising is always telling us you need more, 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 more. And when you start counting your blessings, you say, no, I don't need more. God has already blessed me so much. And I think most of you here could say the same thing in your own situations. God has blessed us in a great number of ways. And then in 19, the next paragraph, Paul says, I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. A power for us, his followers. It's the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from the dead and let him sit at the right side in heaven. So the power that God gave his son Jesus, he's saying he gives us. I think that's pretty remarkable. I seldom thought of that in those terms. And in the heavens then, it says, there Christ rules over all forces, authorities, powers, and rulers. He rules over all things in this world and will rule in the future world as well. Does that mean maybe he's a ruler over President Trump? And over Putin, who we don't like, and the Soviet Union, or Russia rather. God rules over all people. Whether they believe in him or not, he still rules over them. And he has put all things under the power of Jesus. And for the good of the church, he has made him the head of everything. The church is Christ's body, and it's ruled with Christ, who completely fulfills everything. And then he says, going to chapter 2, in the past you were dead because you sinned and fought against God. You followed the ways of the world, you obeyed the devil. He rules the world and his spirit has power over everyone who doesn't obey God. Once we were also ruled by the selfish desires of our bodies and minds. We had made God angry and we were going to be punished and everyone else. So saying at one time we were not... Paul, who's writing this to, many people have made God angry, have not lived as they should. Some of us would say, well, I was baptized as a child and I've served God my whole life. And that may be true for many of us. But there's times that we don't please God, and we all know that also. But notice the next few words. But God was merciful. It's like, we're thinking, I've blown up my life. But God was merciful. We were dead because of our sins, but God loved us so much. He made us alive with Christ, and God's wonderful kindness is what saves us. The kindness of God saves you and me. God raised us from death to life with Christ Jesus, and he has given us a place beside Christ in heaven. My view of heaven, I guess I always think of Jesus up there, and he's ruling everything, and we're down here. But it's sort of saying, we're right beside Jesus. You know, and we're going to see in the next song, we say, favorite of most of us, just a closer walk with thee. And, you know I enjoy walking with my wife, taking a walk with her. And we think of walking with Jesus. And Jesus is beside them. We can talk to him. We can complain to him also. I think that's legitimate. It's all right to complain. But we need to listen to what he says to us then in response. And God did this. In the future world, he could show how truly good and kind he is to us because of what Christ has done for us. So in the future world, he's going to show us why he's done this and how he's done this. It says, you are saved by faith in God, who treats us much better than we deserve. And so often, many times we'll say, well, you deserve that. You know, something good have you, we deserved it. And I'm thinking, no, I don't know that I deserve it or that you deserve it. And we certainly don't want any of us to get what we deserve in relationship to God. But it says he treats us much better than we deserve. And this is God's gift to you. Salvation is a gift. And a gift is nothing we can earn or deserve, but it's freely given by someone to someone else. God's gift to you, and not anything you've done on your own. Just say, well, I deserve that gift. I earned it. It isn't something that you've earned. So there's nothing you can brag about. Well, I'm a Christian. Aren't I wonderful? Or I could say, I'm a pastor. Isn't that great? And we say, no, you can't brag about any of that, because whatever gifts we have, God has given them to us. And God planned for us to do good things. So we go back to, we have faith in God, and we do good things, not to earn salvation, not to feel good about ourselves, how wonderful we are. We just do it in response to a gift. You know, think about if someone gives you a gift, don't you many times want to respond to them in some way to say thank you and I really appreciate it? And so the good things that we do in our life are ways of responding to God. And we do it by doing good things to other people. And that's how we respond. God planned for us to do good things and to live as he has always wanted us to live. That's why he sent Christ, to make us what we are. So we are what we are because God makes us that way through his son Jesus. And then verses 11 through 17, they really talk about the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles, and I'm going to sort of skip over that. This was really a relevant issue in Paul's day. We don't talk about Jews and Gentiles much today, that kind of thing. But in his day, it was the Jews were God's chosen people, and how did the Gentiles come into salvation? But go down to verse 18, another Trinitarian verse again. And because of Christ, all of us can come to the Father by the same Spirit. The Spirit that gives us power, the Spirit who gives us wisdom, the Spirit who enables us to do what we need to do. And in 19 it says, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. We could just say you people maybe are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens with everyone else who belongs to the family of God. And you know, citizenship means we have rights and privileges. God calls us to be his children. And you are like a building, with apostles and prophets as the foundation, and with Christ as the most important stone. I think other translations would use cornerstone. So when a building is built, started the first stone laid, you got to get the direction of the building, however you want it to sit. you know, wouldn't this building look sort of funny if this end was clear out the sidewalk and this one is clear over here? But the people who built it set it so it was perfectly straight, parallel with the street. That's the way they wanted it. And so you are like a building with the apostles and prophets as the foundation and Christ as the most important stone. Now, we're not talking about a physical building here. We're talking about the building of Christians. We are the body of Christ together. Christ is the one who holds the building together and makes it grow into a holy temple for the Lord. The Jews believed you had to go to a specific place in Jerusalem to find a temple. This tells us that wherever we are gathered together, we are the temple of God. Of course, most of you know the verse in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 7, that says, our bodies are a temple of God, God living in us. And so as you relate to anyone, as you sit next to that person, God is in them. And I think if we remember that, we think twice about how we treat other people. Well, I don't like that person, or this person makes me mad. If they're a Christian, God is in them. And we want to treat them like we would treat Jesus, as if he were walking in here today. How would we treat Jesus? That's how we treat the person sitting next to us. And you are a part of that building Christ has built as a place for God's own Spirit to live. God's Spirit living in us. So today, we are no longer strangers. We are brothers, sisters, and friends. Amen. We will sing the hymn number 697. Please stand.
Thank you.
confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as you have page 6 in your worship bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Give thanks for God's merciful compassion as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God, you are our cornerstone, giving your people a strong foundation of faith. Help us to seek meaningful change in the world and lead us to places of rest where you renew us for mission. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, you are our shepherd, leading us to green pastures and still waters for our use and pleasure. Renew the face of the earth, guard the land and seas, the mountains and valleys, cultivated farmland and untamed wilderness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, you are righteousness, proclaiming peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Remove hostility that divides our nations and our country. Make us no longer strangers or aliens, but fellow citizens with all your saints. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, you are our compassion, bringing rest to all who seek treatments and diagnosis and are left without answers or energy. Restore the aching souls and bodies of those who we seek comfort, especially those we name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
God, you are our creativity, creating joy and purpose through all artists in the church, composers, writers, visual artists, musicians, poets, and dancers. Open our hearts to experience your truth in new and beautiful ways through their work. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
God, we thank you for this new day and for all the opportunities you place before us to grow in faith. We ask your blessing on Adam and Grace, who are on their way to Sky Ranch Lutheran Camp. May they grow in knowledge and the understanding of your love and grace. May they be kept safely in your hand. May they encounter you in both the beauty of your creation and in the eyes of their neighbor. May they feel your presence with them while they are away. And may they return safely to their homes, better equipped to serve you with the whole of their lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, you are our future, leading us through the valley of the shadow of death and preparing a table for us with all of your saints. Let your goodness and mercy follow us until we dwell in your house forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we lift to you these prayers and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your everlasting love and mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace at this time.
Everybody's got something to offer. Please stand. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food in the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ invites you to a place of honor at his banquet. Welcome to the feast. All are welcome. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Congregation, please stand.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We can make a difference.
Proclaim the good news.
Thanks be to God.